tape CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Summer Family and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, July the 5th, 2014. Mickey Pinson is the speaker of this service, teaching on avoiding temptations to sin. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
It's a holy place, folks. The house of God is a holy place. I'm not interested in, you know, I know sometimes we want to laugh and it's okay, but if God really came in here, we'd be on our face, weeping and crying, tears. If he really came in here, wouldn't we be acting silly and doing silly stuff? It's a holy place. Well, the voices we listen to, entertainment, and the voices we read. Psalm 141:3 said, "A watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Incline not my ear." I got to stop and say something. You know why those churches do all those kind of things? Because they don't have God anymore.
Absolutely.
They don't have the power of God. They've gone to Hagar's tent. God of Mahishma. And the stupid people sitting on the pews don't know the difference, or else they don't want to know the difference. It's leading them right into hell. He said, "Well, that's not fair." It is fair. It's not just fair, it's the truth. And I'll tell you what, again, Brother Clinton, he fasted one time, 30 days, he said, "God, what do I need to do in this church? What?" There's a key, folks, to our church. There's a key to every man. "God, what do I need to do?" He fasted and prayed. He said all that ever happened toward the end of that 30 days, he had a vision. And in the vision, a man was going through hell, pulling up people by the hair of the head and shoving them back in the flames. And God said he's looking for that preacher that lied to him.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Now, I don't want to lie to people. I do not want to lie. I'm responsible for what I say, what I do, how I live before the church. I'm not saying I'm perfect, oh. In fact, I want to tell you the truth. I'm glad there's some things I've done they never found out about. But they're under the blood. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Same for you. Well, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the doors of my lips. This is a prayer we can pray. Instead of just spewing off stuff out of our mouth. You know, Jesus said, "I never say a word I didn't hear my Father say. I never do anything I don't see Him do." He's talking about right then, not when He's in heaven and He learned all these lessons, came down here and remembered them. He's got a direct connection to heaven, and that's what? He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was led by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit's showing Him what the Father wants Him to do, telling Him what the Father's telling Him to say. That's where we've got to come to. We'll give account of every idle word we speak. That's pretty tough. I used to, when I worked in the grocery store, and I was in charge of the bread. That's part of my responsibility. And the Mrs. Baird's bread man would come in. If you're from Texas, you know what I'm talking about. Mrs. Baird's bread man would come in, and I had control over how much space he had. He was Church of Christ. He'd always razz each other. He'd tell me, "Don't you be putting your hand on my pocketbook now. You know, don't you lay your hands on it." All we just going back and forth. And I could get pretty rough with him. I was a smart mouth most of my life. Got me. I had to stand in the hall of the school a lot. Go to the principal's office. I had a smart mouth on me. And so I'm getting with it, you know, and every day. But he has to go along with me. Why? Because I cut his space down. It cost him, you know, some of his income. One day God said, "That's enough." He told me to quit doing it. And I was wrong. Has God ever told you you're wrong? I didn't know I was wrong. He said I couldn't do it anymore. Then the guy got upset with me because I went, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You know. But praise God that God will show us what we're doing. He loves us that much. I'm going to tell you what, there's not going to be any smart mouths in heaven. None of that. Does everybody know what a smart mouth is? Okay. I didn't know if I saw the Texan or some of you would know what I'm saying. Smart aleck, you know what that is, a smart aleck? Okay. Hallelujah. Well, set a watch before my lips. Incline not my heart to do anything evil, to practice evil works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. This speaks of being united or associated with people who do wrong. The psalmist is saying, let me not be permitted to do anything that will be regarded as identifying me with the workers of iniquity. Shun the very appearance of evil. Don't run with them. Now, there could be a problem there. The Bible says don't run with them to their excesses. Christ went to them and was criticized for it, but he wasn't there. That's something that Bob, well, Paul said, I'll be all things to all men, so I'm going to dress like this and do this. We had this same pastor that had the motorcycle thing, and he got a lot of our pastors doing that. I didn't do it. And so he showed up one time in a meeting, a sectional meeting in my church, and these two people walked in. They had leather on, you know, and they had, I don't, you know what motorcycle people, they had all this. Oh, bless his heart. On the way here, he picked up these hitchhikers. He's going to try to get them saved tonight. I didn't know they were the guest speakers. They spent their whole time telling us how we couldn't judge them and how that we have to be all things to all men. Praise God. I don't believe that's what that means. I don't believe we have to dress like them and do what they do and necessarily go where they go. We've got chaplains now. We've got rock climbing chaplains. I still don't understand that one. Rodeo chaplains. A lot of these things. I don't know how the church ever got along without these things before. I don't know how we did. I'm glad they figured it out, you know. Praise God. Where am I? Thank you, Jesus. The psalmist is saying, don't let me be associated. This is where the command to come out from among them and separate will work for us. Come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. God, I just can't feel your presence. I don't know why I can't feel your presence. Well, have you come out from among them? Are you touching the unclean thing? Your answer is there. Those we associate with will have influence over us, and therefore in kindness God warns us about our associations. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. And it's not all in individual, personalized, in the flesh company. But again, that TV or the music or whatever. Another way we may help ourselves to sin is by making provision to sin. Let me stop and say something. Parents, you have every right to go in your children's room and see what's in there. Open the drawers, look under the bed, look in the closet. You have every right to tell them to keep the door open. You have every right to listen to what they're listening to. You have every right to. You have a right, if they bring some things home, you have a right to smash them, burn them, or throw them away.
Yes, sir.
You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. Praise God. To allow your children to go spend the night with other people that may not have your values, you're just asking for trouble. If there's going to be any of that, and I don't know where all this... There's a lot of people, they don't even know where their kids are. Well, whose house are they at tonight? Oh, I don't know, but they'll be home. If you're going to let them come to your house, the doors stay open. Amen. You approve of who they are, what they're wearing when they come in your house. That's your house. It's God's house. Now, provision to sin. Romans 13:14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I haven't heard that sermon, that scripture in a sermon in a long time. make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. What happened to that verse? Acts 19:18. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. A public book burning. Of course, now you can burn CDs and DVDs and a lot of things. Have you tried that at your church? Some people will quit. They'll leave your church. Why? You're crazy. It's in the book. We need to regularly cleanse our environment of things that lead to and promote sinful behavior. This includes our own temple, our body. For all sin begins in our thoughts. When in our minds we hear or see ourselves doing sin, then we immediately disclaim it. See, the devil can put thoughts in your mind, words in your mind. Have you ever had cuss words in your mind? I mean, when you're praying. And the devil says, you bad thing, you. You know what I have? No, that's not me, devil. Those are not my words. I did not say them. They're yours, and you get out of here. In the name of Jesus. That goes for all unclean, dirty, filthy, whatever thoughts. Hateful thoughts, mean thoughts, thoughts of revenge. That's what he does. He tries to disguise them as your thoughts. What is the old saying? You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. Disclaim it, rebuke it. For if we give that sinful thought time and space, we'll eventually embrace it and obey it. That's what Eve did. This is why we must control our thoughts, for if we control our thoughts, we'll overcome temptations. 2 Corinthians 10:15, casting down imaginations and every high thing, that's opinion, argument, imposing, defense, obstacle, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's His word and His voice, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Quit dreaming about what you'd do if you won the lottery. None of these things will work unless we first and continue to humble ourselves before God and submit to Him. I don't preach this long at home. James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I guess if y'all start leaning over the seat in front of you and snoring out in front of coaches too long. I preached one time at a church in Arkansas. And I just started preaching. That was teaching the Sunday school class. I started teaching Sunday school in this class. And me and everyone would break themselves over that old pew and run and start sleeping. Except for one. I thought, what have I fallen into here? Couldn't be because I was too long, because they didn't even give me a chance. Then I went in there, it's time to preach. And between Sunday school and church, the men went out and smoked. Except for one, he was playing the piano. And so they came in. And I just started, and some old guy held a railroad watch on the chain and started swinging it. Having faith that it won't work with me. It won't work with me. Praise God. Having faith to avoid temptation. Matthew 19:23. Then said Jesus to his disciples, truly I say to you, it will be very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? Who can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, we like to quote verse 26, with God all things are possible. With men it's impossible, with God all things are possible. And so it is. But are we willing to apply this same verse in faith to the problem of temptations to sin? Will we apply it to that? We want to quit sinning, don't we? We want to live righteous, holy lives, don't we? We want to quit losing our temper. Quit gossiping, quit lying, quit stealing, quit coveting, quit lusting. He says in Matthew 9:29, according to our faith, so be it unto us. All things are possible to them that believe in the ability and the willingness of God to do things, Mark 9:23. We've applied these promises to many areas of our life, to our needs. But have we ever thought about applying them to Matthew 6:13, when the Lord instructed us to pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? Let's apply faith to that. Surely if we can believe God to answer prayers that we design, then can't we believe Him for a prayer that He's designed and commanded us to pray? Have you ever been in the church and asked Brother so-and-so did dismiss in prayer? And you get this, I don't know what it is, this long something. It's not even the God, it's for us, you know, to be impressed with how spiritual he is. Our Heavenly Father, you know, and all that. One time we had a new pastor came in the section and they asked him to dismiss. And so he starts out, and that's what he's doing. Our Heavenly Father. And I look around, oh, God's in here. Where is he? I don't want to see him. You know, I didn't really believe that. But anyway, I was, praise God. You know, when you give a message, when you interpret or you prophesy, you don't have to sound like God. Just sound like yourself, praise God. And if you stumble while you're doing it, don't let the devil harass you about that. Okay? We're just people. And message in tongues, interpretation is not a translation. It's an interpretation. And God's let, you know, using it through a human vessel, praise God. You don't judge it by that. You judge it by the content that's in it. You don't judge it by how loud they are, how forceful, or whatever. You don't judge it by that. Now, if we can believe God for material, physical things, then can we believe Him for righteousness? Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, not in, but of Jesus Christ, to all and on all them that believe. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead of attempting to justify our behavior before God, as the rich young ruler did, and the publican in the praying in the temple, let us obtain justification by having faith in Christ to produce righteous behavior in us. I want to say this. I have faith in Christ. I've identified with Him. I'm hiding behind Christ. God doesn't see my sinful activity. He only sees Christ because I'm behind Christ and I'm identifying with Christ. No, He does see. He does see what we're doing. And when we're talking about justification by faith in Christ, we're talking about faith, Lord, faith that He's going to produce righteousness in us. Real righteousness, righteous activities, righteous living. Not just identifying, claiming something. It's more than just believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died for our sins and rose again. But it's praying and believing Him to reproduce His righteousness in us. The scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where it says, and Christ has made unto us righteousness. And see, people want to take that and say, He's my righteousness. I don't have to worry about anything. I can go on live like I have been because He is my righteousness now. That means He's going to come by the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit's going to show Christ to us and we're going to become like Him. That's how He's our righteousness. Praying and believing Him to reproduce His righteousness in us partly by not permitting us to be led into temptation to sin. I'm going to tell you something this afternoon. Our problem is the sin problem. And we're all faced with it. And there's no one in here that's arrived yet. Paul said he hasn't. He said, I haven't attained. I'm striving. I'm pressing. But I'm forgetting those things that are behind. And I want to say this to you. And then with all due respect, so you were abused. So you had a terrible life, childhood. You know, I had a rough one too. Maybe not as rough as yours. Now, I've said this before, but I'm an adult now and I'm responsible and that's in the past and I'm to forget those things that are behind me and press on toward the mark. Ladies, if your father or your stepfather or your brother or somebody molested you, you have no right to translate or transfer that to your husband or vice versa. You have no right to do that. That's not fair to them. And somewhere in this world, how old are you? Are you going to die with that? Or are you going to give it up and let go of it? I'm not trying to be mean to you. Praise God. By allowing that to continue to dominate your life, you're letting that person continue to hurt you. You don't want to continue to let them hurt you. Praise God. Just as Galatians 5:5, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We wait for the hope of righteousness by faith through the Spirit. What am I going to do till I am righteous? Well, I'm going to wait for the hope of righteousness. Listen, we're not there yet. As I said, we're not there yet. But by faith, we believe we're going to get there. Yes, we mess up now. But by faith, I'm believing. I'm not defending it. I'm not excusing it. But by faith, I'm going to get there. Yes, I messed up again yesterday. Or whatever I did or you did. But by faith, I'm going to become like His Son. He is working in me. He's changed me. Christ is being formed in me. I'm in change the same image as Christ. I'm brought up into Christ in all things. The full measure and stature of Christ. By faith I am. I'll tell you what, I'm not what I was this time last year. I see progress. Do you see progress? Thank God for it. Thank God. Oh God, you're changing me. I thank you for changing me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, just as with any prayer we pray, there's usually a time of waiting and development for the answer to be manifested. I've heard people pray and God didn't do it within a certain length or time frame, and they said, well, I knew He wasn't going to do it anyway. And then they go do it themselves. Wait. We'll never make ourselves righteous. Now, we lay aside the weights and the sins. But there's a work that He has to do in us. The Holy Spirit can help in our praying and waiting by faith for the hope of righteousness to be manifested in us. Earnest, fervent praying is necessary. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know how to pray as we ought. We do not... How many of you... See, this is what I did. Well, sometimes I don't know how to pray as I should, so then I need to pray in the Spirit. Is that what that says? We do not know how to pray as we ought. Does that say sometimes?
No.
We never know how to pray as we ought. We don't know how. We don't know anything. Except what God's taught us. And so He said, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, with groanings which cannot be uttered, that sighs too deep for words. I'd much rather the Holy Spirit pray through me for my needs than myself. Why? And He, the Holy Spirit, who searches the hearts of men, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We can see that fervent, earnest prayer, praying in the Spirit, is vital for our avoiding temptation to sin. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Had a man, he reads my emails and he'll respond every once in a while. And he asked me a question, it wasn't this verse but another one. But you see, many verses have double and triple applications. In 1 John chapter 3, when he says, and when he will see him as, when we see him, we'll be like him. Okay, what do we think? Well, when I get to heaven and I see him, I'm going to be changed to be like him. Actually, when we go off this, rise up off this earth, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. What is that saying? If you look back to John chapter 14 and 16, Jesus said, the world won't see me, but you'll see me. Was that meaning a few days later after he rose from the dead? No. That's mean we better be seeing him every day. As the Spirit is showing, taken as in John 16, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to take the things of mine and show them to you. He said, you will see me. How are we going to see him? We're seeing him in the Spirit. We're seeing him in the Spirit. And if we're seeing him in the Spirit, we can be changed to be like him. I'll probably read that in a minute, but I'm not sure. But 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we behold him, we're changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What's going to change us? Seeing him. And so here we read in this, yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. He better be coming to us every day. Every day, all day long, praise God. If he's not, let me put it this way. If we're not seeing him now, we're not going to see him then. Because we're not going to be changed. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back to perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We will not ask the Lord to prevent us from being led into temptation unless we have confidence that He'll hear our prayer and deliver us from the power of the snares, deceptions, temptations of the evil one or of our flesh. Let me say this. There's been times the devil come to me. You may think, boy, the devil sure talks to him a lot. But the devil come and just say, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. And tries to get me to believe that I'm going to fail. I don't know if he ever tells you that. But the Holy Spirit comes right. You know, the Holy Spirit brings to our remembrance all the things that the Lord has said to us. That's His whole Bible, by the way. He is the Word. And so the Holy Spirit come and say to me, no, you're not. I'm going to keep you. You're going to get through this, and I'm going to keep you, and you're not going to fail. There's some temptations that we cannot avoid. You understand what I'm saying? They're traps, they're whatever, and we cannot avoid that. But He can keep us through those things. Do you believe that?
Yes.
And oh, praise God. And when that... When He speaks, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. And when He speaks that to me, it gives me confidence. And I don't have to be a nervous wreck and fear that I'm going to fail God. You know, that may sound crazy to you, but I told the Lord a long time ago, I'm going to be great. I never want to be a great preacher. People know me. I want to stay under the radar so the devil will leave me alone. They become great preachers, and what happens? So many of them fail. Or they get their private jets and they change the whole attitude and everything. So, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I just want to be a little preacher and stay on the radar. Because I don't want to fail. And the Lord, I don't know if I can explain this, but the Lord corrected me. You know what the Apostle Paul said? I want to be accursed. If it would work, I'd be accursed for my nation Israel, that they might be saved. And so the Lord dealt with me. Would I be willing to be whatever He wants me to be and possibly fail? So that souls could be saved. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I don't know if you can catch that. But that's just where we need some confidence that God will keep us. That God will keep us. You may be right now, some of you are worried when you go home. Yes, you're here. You know how it is. You come here, oh, hallelujah, it's wonderful. See no evil, hear no evil, unless you got something hidden somewhere in your room. But none of that, but you're going to drive off this road, and the first place you stop, the devil's going to beat you in the face. And then when you get home, all that stuff that we can't live here, I don't think I'm going to pray let us live here all the time. We can't live. We got to go home and live. I pray God give you confidence. When you go home, you're going to make it. If you'll do what you're supposed to do, that you're going to make it. You're not going to fall back into that. Praise God. We ask the Lord to prevent us from being led into temptation. Praise God. The evil one, the devil, works through the lust of our flesh, and it's here. At the very beginning, we must ask God's help by preventing us from being led by our flesh into temptation. How serious are we about avoiding temptations to sin? How serious are you? Praise God. Faith without diligently praying will profit us nothing. If so, He's rewarded them that diligently seek Him. Where are our groanings in prayer concerning our not being led into temptation to sin? Where are our fervent, earnest prayers concerning our not being led into temptation to sin? Or do you secretly hope it'll happen? Because it's fun. You'll just ask God to forgive you. Or you go to a deliverance camp and get Him to pray it out of you. Please don't misunderstand that. There are people here that really want deliverance. I believe that. You came because you want it, and God's going to give it to you, and He is giving it to you. The word fervently actually means violent boiling, meaning our prayers are to be violent boiling prayers, not cold, casual, indifferent prayers, or whatever will be, will be. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man such like passions or nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth fruit. And why wouldn't he answer your prayer by not being led into temptation? Now we cannot overcome alone. when we have no strength of our own to live a holy life. Therefore, we must obtain help from God. I know there's certain things we overcome, or at least the devil left us alone for a while, or so we'll relax a little in that area, you know what I'm saying, and he'd come back and hit us again. You know, the devil left the Lord for a while, but he came back. We ask God to help us to avoid temptations. We acknowledge that unless God delivers us, we'll be constantly failing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Why is it so difficult? Avoiding temptation to sin is difficult because the flesh is weak. And we must realize that. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch, that means be on guard and pray. Our part is to watch, and then we're to pray that he'll do his part, that we enter not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. Are we praying that? Pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. To enter into temptation means to be led into it. Our watching, being on guard, will be of no avail without fervent, earnest prayer. All inward lust and enticements to sin are included under the name of temptation. We must ask the Lord to prevent us from being overwhelmed by our lust, whether it's wrath, anger, covet, and whatever, which lead us into temptation to sin. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust to the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to get you out, to deliver you out of temptations. 2 Chronicles 4:10, and Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. God will answer our earnest prayer. Praise God. Of faith, lead me not into temptation. Pray that you enter not into temptation. God, may this become a part of our prayer life. I don't want to sin. I don't want to go back and do those things. I'm asking you, Lord, deliver us from temptation, from the evil one. Lead us not into temptation. Praise God. But deliver us from evil. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we don't have anyone to play, do we? Oh, there you are. I thank God for giving Jane to this camp. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise God. I'm impressed with the folks that work here, aren't you? I am impressed with these people. And these folks here, these wonderful people. And the wonderful job they do, the sacrifices that they make, they're in ministry. You know that? They're in ministry. Whether it's Dan taking that trash out, whoever it is, praise God. And I wonder, does the devil ever tell you, Brother Merrill, that you're crazy for coming up here, flying out here, stay home with this? Or I have people. You know better. Praise God. I've already had people like, well, why do you go there? Why are you going there all the time? Anybody ask you that? Some of you don't dare tell them what this place is, or they'd really be on the case. That's okay. Praise God. You know, they can invite you to do all kinds of nasty, vulgar things. And it's okay for them. Would you stand with me? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know, but I believe it's true for the other speakers here. You have no idea how the devil fights us. You have no idea what the message and... Praise God. Before I came, my stomach was so upset I didn't know if I could get here. But I'm here and it hadn't hurt yet. That's the stuff you go through, praise God. Don't be too critical of the people that preach to you, minister to you. It's easy to be able to do that. If you're here and you want prayer, we've got about 20 minutes before supper. And I'm sure when it's time, they'll ring the bell. But it would be good if we saw God. Wouldn't it be good if we saw God? If you need prayer, if you'll come and stand, we'll try to come and get by and pray for you. If you want to sit and pray, if you want to kneel and pray, or if you just need to be excused, it's okay. We're not going to judge you over it. But you're welcome to come if you want prayer. Praise God. This is an opportunity for you. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on ahead.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.